Welcome back to Sports Day. Time for a bit of a wrap-up on all matters AFL football, and none better to go to than the rising star of free-to-air television, who has quickly become one of the most well-known hounds and somewhat favourite at this stage to knock off Scoot McClure for the Hound of the Year Award, a very, very interesting competition that's running next year, or this year, in fact, on Sports Day. Mitch Cleary joins us on the line after having just broken a fairly significant story on Channel 7, as is his wont, surrounding the return of Jordan Gowie. Welcome to you, Mitch.
G'day, Jared. Thanks for that pump-up.
Well, congratulations. You've done a good job. Very few people go from one side of the glass to the other, and in particular to in front of the glass of a camera. Now, you're doing very well, and we're all proud of you. Well done.
Thank you. You mentioned Jordan Gowie. Interesting revelations coming to light today that he was actually meant to be returning to the Collingwood Football Club this Friday, had that court hearing this morning, our time, gone to plan. It's been pushed back a week and a half, and fully expecting now the Collingwood Footy Club to roll the welcome mat out for Jordan Gowie to return in black and white. It's been a long wait. He's been stood down since the night of Halloween, Jared, but he will be returning to Collingwood, and they're going to wrap their arms around him.
So it does appear, just reading the legalities of it this morning, that the judge appears to think that the police are going to downgrade the charge to one only of harassment. Am I reading this right?
Yeah, he was up originally on four charges, including assault and assault with intention to cause injury. I believe those will be dropped and reduced to harassment, Jared. So Jordan Gowie, he's still going to have his time in court. That'll come on January 28th, that hearing adjourned. But it is going to be on the lighter end than we were all maybe initially expecting when he was first locked up the night of Halloween and spent a night in a jail cell. So all of his Collingwood teammates, the officials at the Pies are expecting him to return once that's wrapped up. The thing from the hearing this morning that he was asked to do was walk away from the hearing this morning, Jared, and come back to the court on January 28 with some programs in place. So yep. his attorney will come back and say, all right, we're going to have an education program and alcohol counselling along the lines of that to go back to the court with. And I think that should appease the judge over in New York.
And when you say come back, he literally has to present himself in body and soul at the court.
Sorry, no, via video link again. Sorry,
again? I read that he had to turn up himself.
No, the judge mentioned that this morning. It was one of the last items on the agenda this morning that he can just appear via video link. So a good result for Jordan Gowie that he doesn't have to fly back across the other side of the globe.
Well, we'll move on. More Collingwood. Scott Pendlebury has lined up for captaincy duties again after being given the option. I think, from memory, it's his ninth year.
It is his ninth year as captain. I found this a little interesting. I thought it might have been the right time to go to Taylor Adams, who everyone at Collingwood has been pushing towards the captaincy position for now a couple of years. Pendlebury himself last year saying he wanted to finish his career in the last year or two out of the top job, but he has got a two-year deal, Jared, so maybe just 12 more months and then hand it over to a younger person like Taylor Adams. As you said, Craig McRae gave him the option. He decided to stick around, and he's still got the fire in the belly to lead this group back up after their second last finish on the ladder last year.
Always a quiet period of time when the Australian Open is on. There's been a couple of stories around, but at this stage, it's all going pretty well to plan. I had a listen today to Brad Scott. There's been a lot of discussion, a lot of alarm in some respects about the rule reinterpretations. But I must admit, after having finally listened to him and listening to the intent of his rule, I don't have a problem with it. I don't think we'll see anything too greatly different. In fact, I think it's a good improvement. I would support exactly what he's saying, that if you've been given a prior opportunity, you have to get rid of the ball immediately, not reducing the prior opportunity that has been broadcast.
I know you've been one of the leading voices on this matter, Jared, over recent years. I'm just hoping that it adds a bit more clarity to the fans and the umpires, really, because some umpires on different days, I'm sure all footy fans would agree that the disparity between some adjudications over the length of the season are pretty wide. I just hope this provides some sort of clarity I like the line in there that, you know, if a player does a 360 or a 720 spin,
yep.
it's holding the ball. And I think there was too many occasions in 2021 where players were able to get away with those exact spins.
Yeah, that was an interpretation for the AFL. Well, the umpire's own interpretation, they thought if he had his arms free, he should be given time, he'd get rid of the ball, and therefore you wouldn't have congestion. The trouble is it made every other decision look ridiculous. So I think he's off to a good start there, Brad Scott. Can I ask you about the possibility of an imbalance in COVID cases within the league? And the clear outriders are the two West Australian clubs. They must be, in some ways, quite fearful that the season starts or the practice game starts and all of a sudden they have half their squad come down with Omicron.
Jared, I think this is a real sleeper of a story. I think we've seen players in the eastern seaboards. Collingwood had 17 cases on one day alone last week. Sydney had more than a dozen players wiped out on a boat cruise just before Christmas. The WA clubs, you said, it hasn't been in the community. These clubs on the eastern seaboard will have had immunity come the season in March and April, and the WA sides won't have had that. So I'm with you. I think that's definitely going to be an emerging story. The other part of that, Jared, is the option for the vaccination for the clubs outside of Victoria and New South Wales. So the SA, the Queensland and the WA clubs have the end of this week to produce their first vaccination on some players. And as I understand it, some players around the competition, especially in the interstate markets, are still not received their first jab. So I think that'll become one of the big stories over the next week or so.
As we leave you, Mitch, it's not quite there yet, but I'm just going to test you and get you warmed up. It's almost prediction season. Which side out of the eight is going to go into the eight?
It has to be Carlton, Jared. They've been given a dream run with the fixture. Mm-hmm. There's been two first-round picks the last 2 years on Adam Saad and Adam Chera. If Michael Voss can't get this team into the finals, something has gone horribly wrong at Carlton. It has to be the Blues. I know we've put pressure on them for a number of years, but this list build and this demographic of this list has to be going for the now.
And when are you going to start ramping up coach pressure talk?
Well, that always comes. I think Stuart Drew is probably at the top of that agenda, given Alistair Clarkson is just hanging around the league. He's going to spend a bit of time in the States. He's going to continue a few education processes and some work with Tassie. I think the spectre of Alistair Clarkson hanging over the league will mean a few coaches have some pressure on them early in the season.
It's amazing when you think about it. You've got an expansion club. I won't use that word franchise. You've got an expansion club on the Gold Coast and you've got Buckley and Clarkson available to come in. What a good situation to be in if you're up there and Stuart Dew doesn't get the job done.
The CEO of the Gold Coast Suns, Mark Evans, he spent a bit of time with Clarko.
He
knows what he's about. He'll have the inside word, I'm sure.
Appreciate your time, Mitch, and well done on breaking that story. Again, you have got a slender lead in the Hound War early in the season of 2022. Good work.
Thanks, Jared.
Mitch Cleary joining us here. More Sports Day after this.